vaccine at the WND. Scary. Wishing we had the RC. And I remember Danny Jones with Antoine Young's bad in my teethings.
Pharmacists are warning that half of all babies will not get a vital RSV immunization, RSV or respiratory I'll get Sheena to pronounce that. Virus can cause severe breathing problems in babies, conditions like bronchiolitis and also potential lifelong asthma. Sheena Mitchell, pharmacist and founder of the health podcast at wondercare.ie, is with us. Respiratory what virus?
Syncytial.
Ah.
Syncytial.
This is this virus has the biggest impact, you were saying, on very small babies and the elderly.
Yes. So this virus causes the most hospitalizations in children in the 0 to 4 age group. And it actually causes around 43%, I think, is the figure from last year, of all hospitalizations in the under ones. So it has a huge impact on the flow of patients to our health service for the under ones.
Explain then why only some babies are going to be getting it.
Well, that is a question that I suppose I am here to ask the Minister for Health. So the Minister for Health launched a Pathfinder programme this week or last week. And to be honest, I find it really unsatisfactory. And I recorded an episode yesterday outlining a path for him because he seems unable to come up with one himself. So that's available at Wondercare Podcast if he would like to have a listen. The NIAC recommendation was that every baby born in season should be given immunisation before discharge from hospital between the 1st of September and the end of February, with the caveat that it may go on longer if RSV season goes on longer. However, that is what the Minister for Health has announced. But we also know that NIAC actually stated in the same guidelines that all babies under 6 months should be given it at the start of RSV season. So it is that 6 months worth of babies in Ireland who have been excluded and left out from the
NIAC. So when is the start of RSV season?
So the start of RSV season has gotten earlier over the last couple of years. So in general, it starts around week 40. So that is September. And if it really starts to kick off in October and reaches a peak in November, which continues right through December, and it starts to kind of peter off January, February time. So the big issue with that is that NIAC said, unless, and this is the only caveat they gave, like the NIAC recommendation is the one the health service should be following. Like, and I've shown you, you know, the pathway to make a decision on immunisation here in Ireland, and it's available on my Instagram. But we cannot ignore part of the legislation because we're not bothered.
But hang on for a minute, Sheena, I'm still baffled.
Yeah.
What's the actual problem? It is that babies who are already born and who turn 6 months before this September of this year, they won't get it. Is that it?
So basically, if you're born on the 1st of September, you'll be immunised before you leave hospital with your consent. OK, if you are born in the middle of August, you are in the highest risk category to end up in hospital or ICU from RSV, and you are not entitled to immunisation. And that is the same. I actually found a study that took place over 8 years in France, and there's a similar one from Scotland, that shows that the risk of RSV to babies is the same for those born in season as it is for those born in the 6 months prior to the season. There is no logic to prevent access to this immunisation. So
This is a relatively new immunisation, isn't that correct?
It is. It was only approved by the EMA in January 2023. But we have real world evidence because some countries were quick adopters. They saw the results of the studies and the trials and they were like, wow, we want this. So for example, in Galicia in Spain, three regions, Caledonia, Valencia, Murcia and Valladolid, my pronunciation is not great, they all showed efficacy rates around 89% reduction in hospitalisation. And we know that in America, they brought it out and there was a 90% reduction in hospitalisation.
And will the government not say you have to pick a start date of some kind, and September the 1st sounded like a good one?
Yes, absolutely. But you still do a catch-up programme unless it's unethical not to. It's reckless. And like the minister says that he can save, you know, 400 odd babies from going into hospital this year and expects a pat on the back from it. When actually what NIAC the agency that he actually is answerable, you know, that's where he gets his medical advice. And remember, the Minister for Health is an engineer. He's not a healthcare professional. So he gets his advice from experts, from NIAC. And if he actually adopted my plan, which I have outlined, including all his legislative issues, the distribution issues and the training and accreditation, all everything that needs to be in place for this to be rolled out as a catch-up program has been addressed in my podcast. Why should I have to do that to save an additional 944 babies from hospitalisation? Like, we can't ignore those babies. We can save a lot more from the trauma of hospital.
You say distribution, legislation and training. All of that has to be in place before this rollout begins. Is that correct?
So the issue that I think the minister is having is that he can't figure out when to provide the immunisation. We have a perfect window where patients are already attending the GPs for their 2, 4 and 6 month childhood vaccinations. By my workings, babies born in July and August could receive it in September at their 2 month visit. Babies born in May and June could receive it at their 4 month visit in September. And babies born in March and April could receive it at their 6 month visit.
So what you're suggesting is that you could have two cohorts of immunisation, one done in maternity hospitals before discharge and the other where it gets joined into the pre-existing vaccine schedule through GPs.
Yes. And one of the issues I think they're having with doing that, like, nurses are extremely capable of doing the training that they need to be accredited with any new vaccine. They're extremely capable and well versed at giving childhood immunizations. And, you know, the only issue is that I think the minister is struggling to figure out how to get what is a monoclonal antibody, so technically not a vaccine, distributed in the country. And that is because our national cold chain, which provides immunizations, state as their mission statement that they deliver vaccines, right? That one word, vaccines, to healthcare settings all over the country. I propose they change that word to immunizations. Like, medicine is going to continue to advance. There's going to be more than one way to provide immunizations. So if it's something like that, you know, legislation, we've already seen during COVID, the government are very capable of, you know, doing an amendment to a statutory instrument to allow the provision of this by nurses without a prescription. Like, we can, I understand that we are awaiting the results of the full health technology assessment. That is not lost on me. I understand the importance of the work of HICWA. I think they're under-resourced, and so that has led to this being completely, you know, overdue. We should have had the results of this report months ago. But if the minister is insistent on putting some sort of temporary like recommendation down while waiting for the results of the HTA next year, like NIAC actually have said, the significant burden of young infants warrants interim specific recommendations. So if he has to do a 1 year plan, he still can.
A text to say, my daughter caught RSV when she was 6 weeks old. She spent 7 nights in the intensive care unit. It's a nasty virus. Another, my little nephew was an August baby. He caught RSV and nearly died. He had to be flown by air ambulance. This decision by the minister is unacceptable and puts babies' lives at serious risk. Can you go back to the quantification of the likely impact among the two most at-risk cohorts, the very young and the very old? What do you see as the delta between those who will get it under the current regime and be admitted to hospital versus if everybody managed to get RSV as you say they can, or get the vaccine or the antibodies as you say they can?
So based on last year's figures, where we had 1,397 hospitalizations in the under one age group, we didn't really have a full breakdown in terms of age as per month of that hospitalisation. However, that data is available from France and Scotland. As I said, I have those studies available and they are huge studies of over 500,000 children. So we know that there is an even distribution of burden. It's not exactly even, but it's very similar. And I'll post a chart on my Instagram at wondercare_IRL after this to show that babies born before immunisation season starts are just as likely really to end up in hospital. So the minister says if he does it his way, he will basically prevent 434 babies from going into hospital. My reckoning, right, using the same statistics, is that by offering it to both groups as a catch-up and in-season program, you can save an additional 944 hospitalizations. And there was 100.
So it is your contention that more than 900 adults and children will be hospitalised by virtue of not being caught within this antibody net?
It's babies I'm talking about. So under ones. But those
children. But 900 babies then?
944 babies who are basically 6 months or under at the start of RSV season. And you have to remember the wider implications, right? Because you can look at this and think about, we need a HTA. The purpose of a HTA, just for the listener, is to find out if this makes financial sense, you know. Now, if you look at Queensland, same population, and I discussed this with Pat Kenny, actually, on the 28th of March. I've been, you know, like flying this banner. Like, it cost Queensland 18 million to roll out this exact immunisation. But RSV costs their state directly 40 million. So there's a saving of 22 million. But then if you think there's 118 ICU beds taken up by RSV children, babies in this age group, and you can reduce that number by 90%. I wouldn't mind, but that number is per visit. That people who are in ICU will stay there for 5 to 7 nights and then require a further 2 to 4 weeks in hospital. So what I am saying is there are so many children having elective surgeries cancelled because there is no ICU bed available for them post-surgery.
A lot of text coming in. My daughter was hospitalised with RSV as a baby. She was so little and struggled so much. She needed oxygen and had to be fed via tube. It was scary. And I remember wishing we had the RSV vaccine at the time. It was available in the US then, says the texter. She now has asthma. So frustrating that the minister has not listened to NIAC on this. So much morbidity and in the very young and old could be avoided. Sheena Mitchell, thank you very much. That is Sheena Mitchell, pharmacist and founder of the health podcast at wondercare.ie.
Images with anti-neums, but I'm keeping to the